Blog Talk Radio.
It is Sunday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in America, December the 13th, 2015. I'm Grant and Taylor Hughes for my show, The Grant and Taylor Hughes Show, with my guest host each week, Gabriella Foster. Hi, Gabriella. How are you?
Hi, Grant. I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
I'm just doing just fine. Okay. But I took a drink of water when your response made, and I was trying to get it down because I had just eaten something, which is very foolish before your show, and so much for editorializing, and I'm just fine.
Are you near the microphone? Because I can't hear you very well.
Oh, you can't hear me very well? Why? Is that better? No?
Try again. You're so sick.
Is that better?
Maybe I need to
turn it up some. I'm still muffled?
A little bit.
Are you?
Maybe it's my phone.
Oh, well, I'll turn up the volume. Is that helpful? Is that better?
I don't know. I'm going to see if it's my phone. Maybe.
I see. Well, I turned up the volume, so. And supposedly before you start shows, you're supposed to work out technical difficulties. But on our shows, we use it for jokes, right? I see. So my guest host is having technical.
My phone. I'm sorry. My ear was away from the phone because I was trying to see if there was something I could do on my phone. But everything is turned up on mine. I think it's probably from your phone.
Gosh. I see. So you can't hear me. Is that what you're saying?
I'm sorry?
Can you hear me now? You can't hear me?
Yeah, you're just coming. You're not as clear as you usually are.
Well, I'm not doing anything different than I usually do. Is that better? No? Okay, so I'll take out the earplugs.
There people can hear you better than I can.
Is that better? Hello?
That's pretty. It's okay.
I can't. Is that, what do you mean? And I took out the. Okay. So is that better now?
Yeah, it's slightly better. Just I don't want you.
Okay, I have to apologize for all this nonsense. Excuse me. And then we can start over again. We'll start from the beginning. Excuse me. All right. So you can't hear me at all now. Is that the problem? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
What? You can hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad. So now we got through the first 5 minutes. That's good. Doing nonsense. All right, so each week on the show, excuse me, this week I promised I'd talk about the four planks of the platform of the 1930 Geneva Convention bankruptcy, which are, excuse me, health, sovereignty, solvency, and afianchetto. All right. That means that my opinion is if we insert the planks in the present political paradigm internationally, that it really would polish up what is known as the New World Order. However, having said that, I don't like that phrase, so I say the World Order, to take the sting out of the New World Order, which has a very negative connotation. All right, because I think there's nothing wrong with it. It just needs to be fixed. Now, I'd have a lot of my UK group that I have on Sunday mornings would probably argue that point because they have so much trouble in the UK with the court systems and not unlike over here. So most people want to just trash the system. I'm saying, no, you don't really understand what's going on international in terms of the power situations and the money and all that business. So I think that's a real major problem. Okay, you're going to get. What's that? I can't hear you.
I'm getting on the mic that you're in.
Is it or isn't it? Yeah, it is plugging all the way. You can't hear me? So we're having technical problems. But
I can hear you.
I can hear you.
Okay, that's
she came
fine.
In
that's
the same room.
I can hear you, but usually it's much louder and clearer. So I apologize to everyone for this interruption. But
yes,
I
we're
think,
happy.
I think it's been better.
We're hanging you from the highest yard arm. What?
Mm-hmm.
So you can hear me now, all right, correctly?
I can hear you, but you're usually much louder and clearer. So I can hear you. It's not
okay.
I don't know why it's an issue.
So we'll just continue on, and we'll try to work it out as we go. All right.
That's fine.
Okay. So this week I promised we'd talk about the four plagues and health. As many people, health. As many people know, I'm a raw vegan, and so is Gabriella. So we're really into raw food, which veganism means you don't eat any meat or dairy products. That's a vegan. But we're a raw vegan, so we don't eat any cooked food, period. We don't eat any dairy or meat products, but we also don't eat any cooked food. So that's what is known as a raw vegan. And we have, well, in my opinion, I'm not really high on veganism, because when I was vegan, I weighed 300 pounds at one time. So I think veganism is not a healthy way to go. So my view is, being raw, when your food is raw, then your enzymes are alive. And to me, the enzyme is the issue. And there's arguments saying that enzymes, when you eat food that have live enzymes, that the enzymes are denatured when you start to eat it, and that I think that's not true. But there's a lot of arguments for all these things, and I don't necessarily think it's so individual. When people say it's individual, I think there are certain standards in the eating of food, because if it's all individual, then it wouldn't work at all. You know, I mean, it would be so individual that it's not, you would die when you look at food. Go ahead. I'm sorry. You were trying to say something, or are you there?
No, I was not. Excuse me.
Oh, you weren't there? You're not there, right?
My red co-host coughing. Sorry.
Oh, the co-host cough. Oh, that's a CC. Co-host cough, right?
Right, exactly.
Not carbon copy. CC. Oh, there's another one, too. Are you finished with that?
I am finished. Are you?
No. I've still got a few minutes. I got 22 minutes. We've been blowing off the first 8 minutes already with nonsense. Sorry about that, everybody. All right, so the discussion about, that's a health issue. I say that health is a political agenda, because without your health, what's the point of talking about anything, government or money or anything else? If you don't have your health, what's the point of it? See, that's my opinion. Why I put health in there as a plank to my political form, because they're saying, well, health should be, doesn't have anything to do with governing. Well, if you're not alive, how can you govern? See, so I put a segue into health. And I understand the arguments for that, but it's my show, so there. Right?
Yes.
Are you still there?
I am here.
Well, that's good. I'm really glad to hear that. Very glad to hear that. All right. We'll move on to sovereignty, because I know people are concerned about their health, but it's a lengthy discussion. Just having said that, I think raw veganism is the proper way of eating. All right, so we'll leave it that. We'll move on to sovereignty. A lot of people don't really understand sovereignty. They use sovereignty as an adjective when describing countries, sovereign countries. I think that's a misnomer. I think if they describe a country, it should be a solidarity country. I mean, I understand that means coming together as a community. A sovereign issue is, in my opinion, is individual, because the word itself means soul reign in a physical body. So how does a country have a soul? I mean, I understand the anima type thing of atoms and all that business, but my opinion is that we're talking about human beings and not necessarily a country or soil standing on the land. So I think standardizing around the fact that the human apex is okay with me in terms of the discussion of sovereign or even sovereignty. So my opinion is human beings can be sovereign, not countries. And I back that up, because the logic with the other one is some kind of fall to raw political agenda nonsense, some platitudinal nonsense that has no definitional terms. It's just an adjective that's flung around, and people really don't understand it whatsoever. It's like being a Republican and a Democrat. Nobody knows what that is. It's just total rubbish, okay? And that's why I'm saying, when I put my description on the show tonight, I call what I'm doing mainstream politics, because there isn't such a thing as mainstream when they don't know what they're talking about. You see, it's like when people say, I'm a good American. Oh, what does that mean? Give me an agenda for that. Well, I have life, liberty, and I pursue happiness, but that means I'm never happy, but I pursue it. Okay? So what shouldn't it be life, liberty, and happiness? Just be happy, but they're not, see? And in my opinion, Americans are anything but happy. And why is it? Well, because mainly you can't get along. And a good friend of mine said the other day, coined a phrase, they have serious disease, right? I know he's laughing now. Yeah, that's it. No sense of humor, right? They can't take a joke, right? Oh, I see. So am I even online? I don't think you're on, Gabrielle. I think I clicked you off. Are you there now?
I am. No, I'm here. For some reason, I was disconnected a little while ago, and I got back on, and I don't think you ever missed me. So it's fine.
Well, I didn't miss you for a few minutes, but I missed you when I looked at the panel, and you weren't clicked on. So now, can you hear me better now?
I'm not sure what happened. Yeah, I'm better now. Yes, I can hear you better.
Well, that's good. You're better now.
I think it's probably good that I was disconnected, because now I'm getting clear reception like usual.
Well, that's great. Maybe it was just a bad connection, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have a good connection. Everything is clear. So I was talking about sovereignty. Did you hear me, or you just weren't able to speak?
I heard you initially.
Oh, yes, you were off. Okay. All right,
yeah.
Okay. All right, so anyway, so I was talking about individual sovereignty in the qualification of that a human being, when they're born, they said that they're ordained sovereign, okay, meaning without contractual sovereignty. That means that they're, by birth, they have a birthright, and have one part of the birthright is ordained sovereignty, all right? So that means that without certification or documentation, documented certified sovereignty, that individual by birth is ordained sovereignty. And enough said there. Well, you could talk more about that, but that means that by their birthright, part of that birthright is its sovereignty, by birth. Okay. And we're saying, well, the soul reigns in the body, so we call it sovereignty, sovereign, all right? And then sometimes they, in the UK, they had gold sovereigns, like individual monies, and the king was said to be a sovereign. But let's just talk about the individual sovereignty and not muddy the waters, because that's a long, very long conversation with the other definitions. And so in terms of this sovereignty, the very important distinction in getting documented certified sovereignty that is issued by an exchange or grantor of a trust foundation, that therefore the exchanger who becomes the grantor, because it's a slash there, the granting of contractual provisions of law, all right? And that means that now they become the grantor because they received a trust, in a fidelity ceremony, they have received a trust certificate. And that trust certificate certifies them to issue the contracts in the society. In other words, they've been recognized by the creator, and the exchanger grantor has recognized the creator also. The creator is a site recognition of both parties. It's the first contract. So they recognize each other, and therefore the exchanger grantor, by paying for the trust certificate that the creator, it sounds like religion, right, creator? But it really isn't that way, because the creator is just creating a document, the trust certificate. He creates the trust certificate and sells it to the exchanger grantor. So it's actually the first economic process, the first trading, the first indirect or direct trade, by in the creator is compensated for creating the certificate by the exchange or grantor, and there's an exchange there. See, that's why they have exchange or GOR/grantor, because there is a definite exchange for a consideration. Now the exchange or grantor is the holder of the trust certificate, and that means he's certified to hold that trust certificate. He's also the certified recognizing the original trust, which was really just a site recognition of two people, and it didn't really have romantic connotations as a trust normally does. It's just a meeting, a cold, icy cold meeting of recognition, a site recognition of two people. And that's where the power transfers in terms of recognition. See, that's how when we recognize another person, and then you have a familiar experience, then that becomes a kind of a power transference of recognition. So then people say, well, where does the power of creating law come in? Well, it's recognition. See, the transference of recognition. You recognize another individual as a human being. They recognize their reciprocation of humanity. So humanity is the mandate of the power issued to the sovereign, not necessarily the sovereign exchange or grantor at that point, but the exchange or grantor now has a certificate that he bought from the creator. All right, so now we get to that point where, okay, the exchange or grantor now has the power to issue a sovereignty certificate if a human being so desires that. Like if somebody wants one, then they should be freely given that sovereignty certificate. Now, since the exchange of grantor actually gave consideration or payment for the trust certificate, essentially the exchange of grantor could sell the trust certificates, but we know what happens with that, Gabriella, when the government misconstrues those documents as securities. People get in trouble. It's called securities fraud, and they'll put that on people, and that might be a jailing offense in terms of that. So that's an issue. So the point is, if you issue it freely, then there's no glue in terms of attack to securities fraud or selling securities without a license. See, there's no issue there. If you give things away, there's no glue. They can't do anything if there's no money exchange. See, so when things are, but the contract is the issue. When the sovereign receives a document certified contract sovereignty from the exchange or grantor, now they are considered enacted, E-N-A-C-T-E-D, sovereign. That means we've enacted the sovereignty in a contract. Why is that important? Well, we have money in our pocket. Money is a contract. So therefore, vis-a-vis, we need to have contracted sovereignty to utilize that contract. See, because we have to by using the privilege of use of money, we have to be contracted to do that. So we have to be we have to have the right to use the privilege. So the birthright needs to be enacted in a sovereignty certificate, so we can prove that we have this document, which is a contract, to be able to use the paper contracts of money. See, if you don't have a contract, an ordained sovereign is not contracted. See, and this gets into the whole corporate entity, or what they call the straw man as a human being, and then you can see why it's all in contract. The corporate entity, the corporate human being, the corporate person, if you will, these are all part of the, right now, the bankruptcy issue, in terms of that corporate entity. But the corporate entity is also the monetary system. But in order to act for that corporate entity, then we're the agent of that corporation. See, and therefore, you have the proper jurisdictional issues there at that point. So the sovereign issue is very important in terms of enacted sovereignty versus ordained sovereignty. And ordained sovereignty would work in an indirect trade society where there's no medium of exchange. See, the issue really is a monetary system. The monetary system is a major problem, all right? Indirect trade was not a problem for the American tribes. The American Indians did not use the medium of exchange until they were Western Europeanized when they came in and created the first medium of exchange with the American tribes called wampum. They were mud balls, little mud balls. People might be familiar with that. They used to stack them in pyramidic type, they stack them up in little pyramids in the wigwam.
Can I ask a question?
Didn't
they also use other things for wampum besides that? Didn't they use beads and thing and shells
right.
and things like that? Or
yeah.
was a combination of stuff, right?
Okay. Well, but that's now the commodity. Beads and stuff could be a species. See what I mean? When you're using mm-hmm. stuff that could be a commodity and also a medium of exchange, now you're talking about a different form of a medium of exchange. You're talking about substance. It's like gold. Gold could be transferred. You can press it in coins. You know, you could coinaging and engraving. You can turn it into coins. And it's actually the substance is now the actual medium. That's why they turned paper into medium because it wasn't the substance. So when you're doing beads and all those things, those could be commodities also. But if they're a medium of exchange, like in the day the earth stood still, they were using diamonds, okay, as a medium of exchange. That was what they were using. That's not impossible, but it can be misconstrued sometimes in terms of substance versus theatization of a representation in terms of contracts, see? So in other words, when we're talking about paper money, which is really the receipt of a specie, of a bead per se, the bead could be a specie because we have a lot of different species in history that could be housed or gathered in a warehouse, and then it backs the currency. It backs the paper currency. Or in terms of even gold coins, you'd have things backing it in gold and silver or beads or tobacco leaves or tree bark or something that is a substance that you can house, a manifest substance. You can make in short supply and then put it in a warehouse somewhere, or put it in a vault and put it in a bank somewhere and vault it. So these are pretty technical in terms of the whole monetary system and its relationship with sovereignty. You can see it could probably be a university, a semester of being taught in school. You see, it could very well be, but I don't really want to make it that extensive. Because a lot of it is repetitious, but there are not necessarily new things, because I'm really talking about this, and I've gone through this in the past, but it's not new. It's really atavistic. If I haven't brought up some things about it, it's been said somewhere along the line in terms of economic policy or monetarist policy or just in forms of the discussions in reference to the medium of exchange. It becomes a casuist on my part. I apologize for that. You can replay this because it makes sense to me anyway, but it may not be making any sense to anybody else. And maybe I'm getting down to, well, it's amazing how much time you can blow off talking about nonsense, right? But it's not really nonsense, but I'm just being self-effacing right now, which is a good word. So do you have any questions at this point? We're down to about 6 minutes. If you can bring up a question, I appreciate the feedback.
Okay. All right. Well, I think so the most important thing here is that we do want to be solvent, and we're in a state of bankruptcy.
Correct.
Okay. So in order to be solvent, we really didn't broach the remedy for being solvent, correct?
Okay, I can do that quickly.
Tonight?
Yeah, the mm-hmm. fix really is to back the Federal Reserve note with a certificate, right? But then the certificate wouldn't be currency. It would be a specie, okay? But it's another piece of paper. But then the purists would argue, well, it's not really substance. I said, well, it's made out of paper. Paper's made out of wood, and wood comes from trees, right? So you could say that it is substance. But then again, a purist wants some sort of something more tangible besides paper. But see, that becomes a philosophical argument, too, to a certain degree. See, so my fix, though, is to put certificate back on a document, and then the certificate will now be backing the note. You see what I mean? In terms of the specie. All right, now, I don't like all that because I like the fact, but I don't like calling the Federal Reserve note a note because the bankers consider note as a debt instrument. It's really a banking problem. If the bankers would agree that a note really isn't debt, that a note is just a note, like we have a note paper, or we write notes down, and it's a note, right? But this is actually declared that in word form, Federal Reserve notes, and then they define that as debt. If they would define note as credit, then we'd be in the ballpark. They're not doing that. See, I mean, that might be an easier fix than to create a 12 Federal Reserve certificates and put them in the Federal Reserve banks, and they would be backing whatever blocks of monies that are in the Federal Reserve banks at that time. See, so that would be the incremental status quo of the Federal Reserve banks in terms of the solvency fix for the bankruptcy. In other words, by increments in terms of those Federal Reserve banks, that each one of those certificates would back, one certificate would back all of that. And I know some people didn't really like that fix, but that's really the answer for it. Because if you go to the bank, you can't really ask if there's a certificate for your notes. And it's not redeemable in specie or in currency or in certificates. There are no certificates. We used to have silver certificates, which were really were credit instruments. See, it's a credit and debt situation. The problem is credit and debt situation. We define a note as debt. We define a certificate as credit. See, and that is like an official statement, a banking statement, and not necessarily just a nebulous state of definition, like a lexicographer or a dictionary maker. See, so these are definite standards in the marketplace between debt and credit. And then when you're talking about solvency, solvency would mean we're in the black and not in the red. That means we're not in debt, we're in a credit-worthy situation. We're in banking equilibrium, either the account's zeroed out or in surplus, but not in deficit. See, the deficit is the issue, and there's a lot of discussion about deficit, just like Keynesian economics is about deficit spending, that you can go into the red, and so what? You're the government. But if it makes it a negative situation, see, that's the biggest issue, is we're talking about something negative, and then it creates a heavy pall over everything, you see, why people are upset, and they're financially strapped, and all this business. Part of the reason is because we're in a bankruptcy. It's a negative state because we're not in equilibrium as far as banking equilibrium. Okay, so we're getting down to the last minute of the show. Gabriella, thank you for being on the show. I appreciate your expertise and your comments each week. I really appreciate that.
Thanks for the opportunity, Grantham.
Okay. I guess I have a minute and a half. I should have my glasses on. Oh, well.
Uh-oh.
You can stay on. We have to blow 60 seconds. I can sing a song. Fairy tales will come true. They're going to happen to you. And don't lose your day job, right? As they said. All right. But anyway, it's amazing how time flies when you're having fun. It's amazing how time really. And I do apologize for the first part of the show in terms of the technical difficulties. We should have ironed those out ahead of time. But, you know, and sometimes people are lame, right? But anyway, so now we are down to the last minute. So I will thank you again, Gabriella, for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. You're welcome. And I do want to thank all the guests that are on the show, the journeymen that return each week. And for the new people, I hope you're getting some at least some comedic relief. That means I relieve you of all your comedy. Or I relieve you of your humor, that is. And this is this is Grantham Taylor Hughes for my show. The Grantham Taylor Hughes show, I like doing that because I get two plugs in one line, right? Yeah, have a really great week. And have a great Christmas. So I guess we'll try to be here next week. Have a great week and goodbye for now. Mm-hmm.